You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The following episode contains disturbing and graphic accounts of survivor experiences. It may not be suitable for younger audiences. Please listen with care.
In 1972, less than 2 years after opening, Oak Hills School, the original iteration of Provo Canyon School, faced its first scandal. Two boys, shackled at the ankles, escaped and ran into town, where they were cornered and eventually captured. The town was understandably upset, first at the spectacle of runaway troubled teens, and second, wondering just what sort of treatment the boys were running away from. At the time, there was an abundance of signs that the treatment being conducted within Provo's walls were not therapeutic, and in fact, were likely abusive in nature. 6 years later, it would happen again. From iHeartRadio, London Audio, and executive producer Paris Hilton, this is Trapped in Treatment, exposing the inner workings of one teen treatment facility each season. We're your hosts. I'm Rebecca Mellinger.
And I'm Caroline Cole, one troubled teen industry survivor.
And one investigator.
On a mission to expose the truths of an industry plagued by controversy and to make sure that no child has to experience the hell that is teen treatment. Welcome back to Trapped in Treatment. The last two episodes, we have learned about the creators of Provo and explored where the methodology of abusive practices began. In the following few episodes, we are going to dive into the individual, real-life stories of survivors of this industry. But today's episode is all about those that have tried to stop it. This episode, today's chapter, is all about the ACLU case brought against Provo in 1978.
In 1978, two boys, Kenneth Rice and Timothy Malonis, managed to escape Provo Canyon School.
At the end of the year in 1978, we received a phone call from an attorney in Salt Lake City named Catherine Collard and said, "We have a very bizarre situation here."
That's Mark Soler, then a staff attorney for a local youth law organization.
A young boy named Ken Rice escaped from a school in Provo and went to the local police station and went to the police and said that boys are being mistreated, abused, and manhandled at the Provo Canyon School.
The officers listened to his story, but then labeled him a runaway and called PCS to come and collect their ward.
Provo Canyon sent two of their staff people to pick up Ken. And when the staff arrived, many of the staff at the time were ex-BYU football players, big guys. And when they got to Ken, they grabbed him. One, I think, pulled him by his hair backwards, and they grabbed him, and he was struggling the whole time, and they were forcefully taking him out of the police station when the police officer in charge said, "Hold on, I'm not comfortable with this." And he said, "I'm not going to let you take Ken." And he called the head of the State Department of Children and Families.
Catherine Collard was an attorney for the ACLU. She was the one to receive that call. She would go on to file a federal lawsuit against PCS, representing Timothy Malonis and Kenneth Rice, for causing them to be subjected to cruel and unusual punishment, anti-therapeutic and inhumane treatment, and denial of due process of law. This lawsuit describes kids being subjected to polygraph tests and solitary confinement, their mail being monitored and censored, and being subjected to physical force for punitive reasons.
And because Provo Canyon called itself a private school, most legal services programs and public interest law offices would not get involved. The law says that in order for the civil rights laws to apply, there has to be state action.
How is it possible that the State Department didn't know about Provo Canyon School?
Provo Canyon claimed that it was a private facility and therefore was essentially immune to the civil rights laws.
Immune to civil rights laws? At the time, Provo was housing youth from the juvenile justice and foster care systems from all around the country. They should have been protected by state systems, but James P. Wheeler, the director of the State Division of Family Services, stated at the time that his agency had no control over disciplinary actions at Provo Canyon School. He said, and I quote, "A quirk of the law makes the school immune to our standards simply by the fact that they call themselves a school. If they called themselves a shelter or something else, it would be a different matter, and we could apply our standards to how the school treats juveniles," end quote. A name shouldn't distinguish how much oversight and monitoring a facility has, especially not one's caring for vulnerable youth.
Okay, but think about this. Let's imagine a restaurant opened, but it called itself a park. So that meant it wasn't subjected to health inspections that all the other restaurants were subjected to. It makes absolutely no sense.
And no one would tolerate it.
So what happened next?
And Kathy Collard then went to Provo and met with Ken Rice and interviewed him. And he told her stories which were really bizarre, hard to believe. For example, that young people were put in isolation for long periods of time at the facility, that they were using a polygraph to read the kids' minds, which was traumatic for the young people and very weird. And I had never heard of that in any juvenile facility before. They also had a requirement that they had to sit or stand for 500 hours before they could get out of the locked orientation part of the program. She had contact with Tim Malonis at that time, and Tim said the same thing. The same things were going on. So Kathy filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against Provo Canyon School, asking for money damages for Ken and Tim, and also asking for an injunction to prohibit the school from engaging in these abusive practices. And that's when she called me.
Mark went to Salt Lake City shortly after to meet Kathy and begin the formal discovery process. They asked for a wide variety of documents and to talk to some of the boys in the school.
We asked for our experts to be able to go in and inspect the school and talk to boys who were there, and to see what was actually going on. And the owners of the school fought us vigorously at every step of the way. Every time we filed a motion for discovery, for documents, or for data, or to go on to see the facility, they would oppose it in court. We had to have a court hearing on every one of these, and we won all the court hearings, and we got our materials, but it was a big battle.
After a year of waiting, they received a call that there were 7 file cabinets of documents waiting for them. They sent moving vans to pick them up. The files were revealing, especially the copies of intake evaluations. The new intakes were diagnosed on a case-by-case basis, so the ACLU team was surprised to find that many of the diagnoses were identical.
When we read all of the intake evaluations, most of them had the same diagnosis, which was conduct disorder. A conduct disorder is a vague category. It is a DSM diagnosis, but it is a vague category and can be stretched to include all kinds of behavior by adolescents that is disruptive or anti-authoritarian or doesn't fit into some people's view of what was appropriate behavior.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Most of the kids at Provo acted out in pretty standard ways. They disagreed with their parents or talked back to their teachers. They wanted to be with friends all the time. They snuck out, went to clubs, normal adolescent behavior. What they were met with at Provo was not an appropriate response to their problem.
It's easy to see why the ACLU grew increasingly concerned. Boys sent by both the state and private parties were being diagnosed with an extremely general disorder and being kept isolated from the outside. Something wasn't adding up. Catherine Collard and her team stated, "The so-called therapy, in fact, consists of psychological brainwashing and thought control techniques reinforced by the constant threat of physical violence or other cruel and unusual punishment." Not only were the survivors being physically threatened, but mentally and emotionally as well. And few staff members were trained to actually provide the level of care necessary for the children they accepted. Collard argued that Jack Williams, co-owner of Provo Canyon School, had no formal training in adolescent behavior or education, and Dr. Robert Christ was a psychiatrist. Their facility was bringing in over $1.5 million annually, yet is treating youth in ways that strip them of their most basic constitutional rights. Dr. Robert Christ was casual in his response, admitting the censoring of mail, polygraph testing, and administration of medication to students. When asked about the use of lie detector testing, he said, "If we're doing things that are illegal, state officials should be checking up on us rather than having to go through a lawsuit."
when our experts went through to see what was going on, they were accompanied by several of the owners of the program and the attorneys for the owners of the program. They were not allowed to talk to the children in any private sense. And the kids, of course, couldn't feel comfortable talking, and they didn't get much information from the kids.
But the team was determined to find out what was really happening, so they used some non-traditional techniques.
One of our experts, who's very experienced in doing this, actually, as the large group of people turned right into a hallway, he turned left and then stepped into a room with some boys in it and said, "Hi, I'm here to learn more about what's going on. Tell me what's going on." He got a lot of information that way.
What they found was enough to sue the school.
When we interviewed the kids, they seemed happy that there were lawyers trying to stop these abusive practices from happening.
The trial lasted for weeks, with extensive testimony from both students, staff, and the owners of the facility.
At the end of the trial, the jury found against Ken and Tim on the damages claim. That is, they decided that they would not award any money to them, but the judge issued an injunction to prohibit the policies that I've described.
So, unfortunately, Ken Rice and Timothy Malonis would not receive compensation for their trauma, but the worst of Provo's practices would be prohibited. It was an important win, one that made an impact in an industry that had never before been held accountable.
And can you just describe for us the importance of this injunction and really what it meant for the future of Provo Canyon?
I think it was very important in two ways. First of all, we showed at trial that there was state action. We showed that many kids were sent by juvenile court judges or by school districts to Provo Canyon School. And as a matter of law, the trial judge ruled and the Court of Appeals affirmed that that kind of involvement by the state is sufficient state action for the civil rights, federal civil rights laws to apply. That's very important because there, as you know, there are many, many programs around the country, part of the troubled teen industry, that say they are private programs. And yet, for many of them, there is state action involved. Judges are sending them to the program, or other state officials or county officials are sending them to the program. So one important part of the lawsuit was that we showed that there was state action in what the owners of the facility called a private program, and it made it possible for other so-called private programs to be sued under the federal civil rights laws. The second was that Provo Canyon had to stop doing the most abusive practices in what they were doing. And I believe the major practices that were, as I recall, the major practices that were enjoined by the court, prohibited by the court, locking the young people up in isolation rooms. They called them prescription rooms or P rooms for very long periods of time, sometimes without all of their clothes on. The use of the hair dance, this physically abusive practice of grabbing kids by the hair, this practice of requiring literally 500 hours as an initiation, as a rite of initiation. And then they put an end to the polygraph use.
A historic moment in its efforts. The ACLU versus Provo Canyon School case brought the presence of private facilities to the attention of state agencies. They accomplished one of the first successful cases against the school, hopefully establishing a precedent for change. But since the ruling of the ACLU's favor in 1982, has anything changed?
So was there not an easy way to sort of follow up with the injunction aspect? Because, and I am no lawyer, so this is all new to me, but it seems like the injunction made it so that this can't happen to the past, this can't happen in the current, and this cannot happen in the future. What we know and why this podcast, why we're speaking here today, is that unfortunately nothing changed. We have responses from 2021. We have spoken with kids who, you know, have really recently gotten out. Their mail was censored. They did not have private communication. They're still being locked in seclusion. You know, obviously, they're still inhumane treatment. The staff members are 300-pound men who are throwing kids up against the wall. I mean, I guess just what's your response to that?
We, in addition to suing the owners of the school, we also sued the superintendent of education for the state of Utah and the director of the Department of Children and Family Services, because we felt that they had an obligation to regularly monitor a juvenile facility. If it was called a school, then the Department of Education had a responsibility to see what kind of school it was, because it was licensed by the state of Utah to provide education services. We thought if it billed itself as a therapeutic program for young people, then the state agency responsible for therapeutic programs for young people ought to be monitoring it and to see what was going on. So we sued both of those individuals. And before the trial was over, we reached settlement agreement with both of them. Both of them agreed that the practices that we challenged in the lawsuit should not be part of an educational curriculum in a school that was licensed by the state, and also should not be part of a therapeutic program in the state of Utah, since those were under the purview of the Department of Children and Family Services. So there are consent decrees in the record with both of them. And the enforcement mechanism, as you suggest, was hard to do by us, by the plaintiff's attorneys, because we didn't have any way to get access to information. But the Department of Education and the Department of Children and Family Services did have ways of getting access to that information, and they had the responsibility. And so we hoped and expected that the state agencies would continue to monitor Provo Canyon School. It sounds like that didn't happen.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
This case was so important, infamous in Provo Canyon School's history. It doesn't make sense that given the outcome of the lawsuit that they would still be able to get away with this up until today. Over the past year, we have tried to do our part. Paris, our team, and hundreds of survivors have created public pressure through our work across the country. We've increased government oversight of facilities in Utah, prohibited dangerous practices like seclusion and restraint, but it still doesn't seem to be enough. It's crazy that this is still happening. What will it take?
I think that this tells us a lesson about what it takes to change this kind of program. Litigation, to me, and I've now been a litigator for more than 40 years, litigation is a terrible way of resolving disputes, except when there's nothing else that works. In that kind of situation, litigation may be the only other way of going forward in order to get relief for the children who are in the school. So it was the only way to get the remedy, and it was the only way to get some publicity about what was going on. The lawsuit did get publicity. It got publicity because the practices were bizarre. They were surreal. It was hard to understand how adults could treat children in this way. And I have to say, when I was litigating this case, I was pretty new as an advocate for juvenile justice reform as a child advocate. I had been a criminal defense lawyer, and I had been inside jails and prisons, but I was just new to doing this work on behalf of kids. I have, in the ensuing years, I have seen young people who have been subjected to terrible abusive practices. None of them like this, though. None of them like that. No facility that I've ever seen has tried to censor all the mail coming out. So parents would consistently get an erroneous and inaccurate view of what was going on. Nobody tried to use a lie detector as some kind of therapy for the kids. That is a crazy idea.
The ACLU lawsuit ended with a federal judge issuing a permanent injunction banning the school from the use of polygraph tests on the boys, opening and reading their mail, using isolation for any reason other than to contain a boy who was violent, and prohibiting physical force from being used to restrain a boy unless he was an immediate danger to himself or others. It was a critical win for survivors. I can imagine at the time that the survivors and their families felt like this was a big win. I would have.
So it's mind-blowing to think that after a 4-year court case and tons of on-the-record discovery about the conditions within the school, that in theory, nothing has changed. The foundation of behavior modification and punitive punishment continues to pervade its programming decades later. We were blown away by our conversation with Mark Soler, and even more upset. Will legislation work? If PCS could face a permanent injunction by a federal judge and still continue its abusive behaviors, what else would need to be done to stop them? Although kids today are no longer subjected to polygraph tests, they are still being locked in seclusion. Their mail is still being censored. It begs the question, why? And how did this monumental lawsuit not fully put a stop to Provo Canyon School?
So I've been around long enough to know that even the most carefully constructed, most carefully designed, most carefully worded legislation, likely there will be false starts. There will be problems in implementation. I see it all the time. The challenge, I think, is not to throw a party when the legislation is signed, conclude our work is done, yay, we fixed the problem. No. We're just starting. And what's required is sustained, conscientious oversight.
The idea that ownership's changed and there weren't problems, and problems didn't continue, they didn't persist, and that's just not accurate.
Was last year really the first time you came forward with everyone else?
In like my adult life, yeah. Nobody really knew other than my wife any of this. I avoided ever telling anybody. And then all this happened. I was like, guess we're going to dig up some trauma from 13 years ago.
Next time on Trapped in Treatment.
We need to raise our voices and fight for change. For resources, helplines, and regular updates, head to trappedintreatment.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! and you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.